in a schoolyard, where children laugh and play and learn what's right. I remember those who fought to forge our freedom, and those who'd rather die than lose a fight. But today it seems we take it all for granted, and it's easier to blame and criticize. But I for one will stand and pray for healing in our land today. I still believe that freedom's worth the price. I still believe we're the hope of liberty. I still believe in the promise of the land I love, and I'm not ashamed to say I pledge allegiance still today. I still believe in America. When I think about the future of this nation, I wonder if the torch will still burn bright, and if each new generation will remember and defend her honor then with all their might. For I believe that the faith of our fathers is the cornerstone that made our nation great. And we will stand for centuries if we remain upon our knees. I still believe by faith it's not too late. I still believe we're the last hope of liberty. I still believe in the promise of the land I love, and I'm not ashamed to say I pledge allegiance still today. I still believe in America. Ashamed to say, I pledge allegiance still today. I still believe in America.
Thank you, Tony. Good song for this morning. I appreciate that. Open your Bible to John chapter 13, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, fourth book in the New Testament, if you're still getting familiar with your Bible. Into the New Testament, fourth book, chapter 13. And to give you just a moment to find that, and then we'll stand in honor of the Word of God this morning and read some verses together, jump into the message on this Memorial Day weekend. Good song for this occasion. John chapter 13, let's stand together. Please follow along as I begin reading in verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. And I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, in order to be a servant. In order to be a servant. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the occasion of our nation celebrating the Memorial Day tomorrow, and thank you for those who have paid the ultimate price, Lord, to ensure our freedom. And of course, we remember that Jesus gave His life and paid the ultimate price so that we could be spiritually free. And we're grateful for that. He became a servant to us all. And I pray that You'll help me as I preach this morning. Please speak to our hearts, Lord, all of us together. Fill both speaker and listener with Your Spirit's power and anoint us and help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Keep your Bible open. This is a very simple message this morning. This is Memorial Day weekend, and the nation's attention is drawn to remember those who paid the ultimate price defending our freedom. We don't know their names. I guess a few of them were notable enough that people in some areas know their names, but for the most part, they are only known by name to their families or their closest friends. They were what we call service men and service women because they served our country. They served our country. And in serving our country, they died on distant battlefields. They died on land, on sea, and in the air. They died so that we might live. They, or at least their act of service, is remembered this weekend, and I think it's one of the greatest weekends in our nation's calendar year when all those flags go up, especially at the cemeteries, and honor is done to those who fell in battle defending our freedoms. Now, serving has been the theme of the month as we think on this matter of consecration. This matter of consecration. Filling His hand. Doing His bidding. Being at God's disposal. Now, we're in John chapter 13. We were there just a few weeks ago on a Sunday night. And Brother Luke spoke from this passage yesterday morning in the bus meeting. Who is that? Just went back here. Who is it? Somebody who went back there? Who? Oh, Kelly. Okay, when I see somebody go back this back hallway, I don't know who that is, and they could come out any of these doors. So I don't know what's just check that, okay? I just, you know, are you? I'm not scared, but I am not going to be stupid either, folks. Amen. So, I see somebody go back in the hallway. I don't know what they're going back there for. All right. So, but anyway, Brother Luke spoke from this passage of Scripture yesterday morning in the bus meeting. This is a passage describing the Last Supper and what has become known as the Lord's Supper, if you will. And Jesus and the disciples were gathered in a borrowed upper room. The Bible tells us that this room was furnished for them. And I would assume that most of you know the story. They ate the Passover meal, Jesus, with His 12 disciples. And then after the meal was finished, we read in verse number 4, look at it in your book, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. So Jesus rose from the table. He went over to where the water was and the basin. And He poured the water into the basin, and He put a towel on His arm. And the Bible says He began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, this was normal. Normal in the sense that a host would provide a servant to wash the feet of his guests if he had them over for a meal. They wore open-toed shoes for the most part, sandals and that type of thing in that area of the world, and their feet would become real dirty, and it was common courtesy, and it was common culture to provide a servant to wash the feet of your guest. But this is a borrowed room. So they were supposed to provide their own servant, and Jesus Himself fills the role of that servant, of the servant, that evening. Now, people, you say what you want to say. That's pretty humbling. I know there was a message in all of this. I understand the typology. But don't overlook the actual what happened here, okay? That's pretty humbling to kneel before those men and wash their feet. Now, you think about that. That's pretty humbling. Peter felt it was pretty humbling because he's tried to stop Jesus from doing it. No, no, Lord, I'm not worthy for You to do this to me. Now, Jesus is washing their feet. There's a little statement made about Jesus that sums up what one must do in order to be a servant. It just jumped out at me yesterday. I had another message this morning, more along the lines of Memorial Day. But the emphasis this month has been on serving, and I appreciate those who came out yesterday. We were able to service a couple of elderly folks in our church that serviced their homes, and I appreciate that, and I guarantee you they appreciate it. Both couples telling me this morning how much they appreciated that what was done at their houses yesterday. So when this jumped out at me yesterday morning during Brother Luke's lesson in the bus meeting, I thought that's what I'm going to preach. That's what the Lord wants me to preach on. There's a little statement here made about Jesus that sums up what any person who wants to be a servant must do. In order to be a servant, look at verse number 4. Jesus, and He riseth from supper, and here's the statement, and laid aside His garments. You say, boy, I don't see much in that. I do. Jesus laid aside. Now people, anybody who ever fills the role of a servant has to lay aside, set aside their own plans, their own aspirations, their own schedule. Theirs has to be laid aside in order to meet the needs of somebody else. You remember the story that Jesus told about the man who traveled down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho? You remember that story? And how that man was jumped on by thieves and he was beaten and he was left half dead. And after a while, as he's laying there bleeding probably and in great pain, broken body, here came a priest. And the Bible says, Jesus said that the priest saw him. He saw him from a distance, and when he could tell what condition he was in, the Bible says he passed by on the other side. You know why he passed by? He didn't want to lay aside his plans. He didn't want to lay aside his schedule. He didn't want to lay aside his plans for the day. And so he passed by on the other side. Not long after that, Jesus said a Levite came by. And when the Levite saw him laying on the road, at least the Levite went, and the Bible says the Levite looked on him, and then the Bible says that he passed by on the other side. So he at least had enough care to go by and look at the man. And maybe the man wasn't, his injuries were bad, but not life-threatening. And so maybe he just decided, you know what, I don't have time for this. And he didn't lay aside, and he passed by. They never laid aside their plans. They never laid aside their schedule. But then Jesus said the Samaritan came, and the Samaritan saw him, and the Samaritan had compassion on him, and the Samaritan went to him, but he didn't stop there. He bound up his wounds. He poured in the oil and wine, the ointment to make the man's wounds better for the time being. The Bible says that he set the man on his own beast. He brought the man to an inn. He paid for his lodging. He took care of him. And he said, if there's anything more necessary by the way of what this man might need, I'll take care of it when I came back. You see, that Samaritan, you say, well, I'll tell you what, Pastor, it was a good thing that that Samaritan had nothing to do. That Samaritan had nowhere to go. That Samaritan had no plans. He was just out for a Sunday afternoon stroll. So it's sure a good thing. No, the Bible says that the Samaritan was on a journey. He was headed somewhere, folks. But he laid aside his plans. He laid aside his schedule. He laid aside what he needed to do to serve the needs of somebody else. And people, I'm just here to say this morning, there's no way to serve the needs of another without laying aside yourself. If you can't come to grips with that, you'll never serve the needs of another person. Speaking about Memorial Day weekend, how many men and women laid aside their plans, laid aside their ambitions. I know, I was talking to Brother Joe this morning, people go into the service, they go into the Army, the Navy, the Marines, they go in for different reasons. Some went in years gone by because they were drafted. Some went in the service in years gone by because of the cause, and they felt like they could serve their nation. Some go in to benefit from the GI Bill. And I'm not saying that's bad, but different people go in for different reasons. How many men and women laid aside their plans, their ambitions, put their lives on hold to put on the uniform of the U.S. Navy, Army, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, only to never, ever put on their civilian clothes again? Because they died. They died in combat. They died like my aunt's cousin did, just in an accident. Driving down the road in a Jeep, in an accident with another vehicle, because there's accidents in the service, and the Jeep flipped over, and he was crushed, and he died. They never put on their civilian clothes again. They laid aside their plans, their schedules, their futures, to do service for the freedom of the United States of America. Now, this is why people whose lives are only invested in me, myself, and mine never serve anyone. You know why some people never serve anyone? They are not willing to lay aside a part of their life, their time, their schedule for anybody else. And people, you cannot serve others without laying aside yourself. Laying aside yourself. This is what Jesus did. I love what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2. Paul said that Jesus, listen to these words, being in the form of God. Pastor, what does that mean? That means that Jesus was God. Jesus is God. There was no intrusion into an office that He didn't own, folks. He never felt ashamed saying, I and my Father are one. He never felt intimidated by saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That was no intrusion into a place. You ever been around somebody who intruded into a position that they didn't have? They tried to act like they were qualified for that position when they really weren't. But when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, when Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, He was not intruding into territory that was not His, because He belonged there. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Being found in the form of God. But the Bible goes on to say that He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. He laid aside His form to take on another form so that He could do service for all mankind. And what Jesus laid aside was not His deity. He laid aside His throne. He laid aside His place at the Father's right hand. He laid aside His abode in heaven. He laid aside His place at the center of heaven's praises. He laid aside all of that in order to serve the pitiful plight of lost mankind. Aren't you thankful He did that? Aren't you glad He laid aside? Aren't you glad He took who He was? And I don't mean that He was no longer God, but He laid aside that and took upon Himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I was thinking as I was putting this together, and this is a very simple message, and last Sunday morning was more heavy in the sense of doctrinal. This is more light in the sense of practical, but I can look in every section of this auditorium this morning and speak of examples of how a certain person laid aside their plans, their time, their schedule to serve somebody else's need. I was just thinking a little bit about all that Michael and Riley Bisping have been through with little Jasper, who's still down at the hospital in Indianapolis, and he's going to get to come home, but he's going to have to come home with a feeding tube, and there's just complications with his health. And he's better, but he's not able to get home yet. And I can't begin to even tell you how many people have laid aside their plans, laid aside their schedule, laid aside what they needed to do in order to serve the needs of that couple. A couple weeks ago, when Jasper was still in Champaign, I got a text. I think it came from Tracy. The Neimeyers had been so involved with this couple trying to help them, and said that they were transferring Jasper from Champaign to Riley in Indianapolis. And I was on my way to the graduation exercises up in Elgin to be a part of that. And I knew that Brother Mike and Mick and Brother Luke were all tied up in other things that were going on. Some of them came to the graduation. Others were going other places. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, now here's Riley. Somebody in the church had loaned Michael a car so he could be with his wife and son. And then he had to drive back home to give the car back and go back to work himself. So here is Riley. She's stuck in Champaign. And her son, the little boy that's sick, is over in Indianapolis. And she's sitting there. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? What can I do here? It was our time. Brother Mick was at our time. Some of our single teachers were out in Iowa for our time. And, I called Kyla. And Kyla had just gotten home from taking Taylor and Veronica, or at least Veronica, home from school down to Watseka, lives in Papineau, drives down to Watseka, drops them off, drives back to Papineau. I said, Kyla, what are you doing? She said, I'm just here at the house, just got back from Watseka. I said, what are you doing tonight? She said, nothing really. And I began to tell the situation about Riley being in Champaign and the little guy over in Indianapolis. Before I could finish the story, I'll take her over. Before I could finish the story. And I said, well, Kyla, I said, I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do. I feel awkward calling. She said, don't worry about it. I'll take her over. So she drives. I said, well, listen, you get receipts for gas. Stop and get yourself something to eat, and I'll make sure you get reimbursed. And she drove to Champaign, picked up Riley. I told her, it's only about an hour from Champaign to Indianapolis. It's like 2.5 hours, I guess, you know. So she drives over to Indianapolis. It's 7 hours. By the time she drives from Papineau to Champaign to Indianapolis, back to Papineau, it's a 7-hour trip. And I told Brother Luke, I said, when you reimburse her, you add some money to it. She got offended. She said, I didn't do that for money. I did that to be a blessing. Now look. You said, what do you want me? No. Folks, I understand. Come on. Give me more credit than that. I understand. Not everybody can just drop and do that. Okay? But if you're ever going to serve somebody, you got to find a way to lay aside something. That's why some of you never serve anybody. You don't lay aside anything. You never lay aside your plans. Never lay aside your schedule. You never interrupt your life for the cause of helping somebody else. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll never serve anybody until you're willing to lay aside. Here are people in this room who've laid aside many hours to labor in the kitchen to help prepare food for preachers and guests at Revival Fires Conference. They lay aside. I don't know who this person is. I don't know where this person is. It might be Keith Harrison. Somebody could probably tell me. I know Alberto could. It might have been Keith Harrison. It might have been somebody else. But Alberto Rodriguez, on Thursday night, he stood and we had a wonderful awards banquet. One of the best graduation services we've ever had here. Thank you for coming and participating and being here and support. It was a great service. And Alberto gives his senior speech. And you know what he said in that senior speech? He said, I am thankful for the faithful soul winner who knocked on our door and brought the gospel message to my family. Now that whole family is saved and serving God. Somebody, might have been Keith, might have been somebody else, I don't know. But somebody laid aside. Somebody laid aside. There's a couple of men in this room who have helped people repair their cars. They can't repair everybody's car, but they've given their time and their effort to help. You say, well, these folks just aren't as busy as I am. You're wrong. Everybody's busy. Everybody has a life. Everybody has their life. If that's all you want is your life, me, myself, and mine, you can't serve the needs of others. Because serving the needs of others requires that we lay aside ours to invest in somebody else. There's a man here who goes to sing songs for elderly people in a nursing home who in some cases don't ever have a visitor. And in some cases don't even know when it's all done, they'll never remember that he was there. But for the moment, they listen to Amazing Grace and they smile. And they're blessed. And they're helped. Somebody has to lay aside. And I could go around this room this morning. I am just scratching the surface. There are some who lay aside every once in a while. It doesn't have to be a consistent weekly thing. But there has to be a time in life where you lay aside. You lay aside. And for somebody else, you've put a little time and effort into them. It's not that the people who regularly serve others have nothing else to do, nowhere else to go, no plans of their own. They are people with lives similar to those who are not serving, but they are willing to lay aside their life for a little while to serve others. We're gonna, the Pixies are moving to Indiana here, and that's coming up in 6-7 weeks. And you know, he does a service every Saturday at the Alzheimer's home. Over here. It's the Alzheimer's home, isn't it, Jason? And there's going to be a need there. There's always needs coming up. Always things coming up where people could be helped and people could be blessed. And you say, well, those Alzheimer's patients, they don't remember anything anyway. Let me tell you something. When you have a relative with Alzheimer's, you appreciate what people do for them. You appreciate what people do for them. There are people who have been a help to my dad. When was the last time you laid aside something of your own to help somebody else? You're not willing to lay aside, folks. You'll never be a blessing to anybody. When was the last time you hit the pause button of your life so that you could assist and help and serve another person? I know how it was at the house that I went to yesterday. There were tears of thankfulness. Thank you for coming. Didn't take much. Several hands makes light work. But folks, if you're not ever willing to lay aside, you're not going to be a blessing to anybody. Jesus laid aside. The Bible says He laid aside His garments and He washed their feet. Look at verse number 15. He said here in verse 15, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." So Christian, Jesus didn't just do this so you and I could talk about it. Jesus did this so you and I could follow in His steps. Which means you've got to find some time to lay aside. It would be just a short while later, and I love this, that Jesus would lay aside His garments. He would lay aside His coat and His robe. And He would serve mankind again on the cross of Calvary. And when He laid aside His coat and His robe, He took on our shame. He shouldered our sin. And he went to the cross. And he laid aside his all so that wicked sinners like you and me could be washed, forgiven, made clean, and have a home in heaven. The teenagers sang at the banquet. He left it all. Not his robe, not his crown, not 10,000 bowing down, not one piece of jasper wall. He left it all. Aren't you thankful Jesus laid aside His garments and took on our sins in His own body to the tree? He died there and was buried and rose again to pay for our sin debt. And friend, by simple faith in the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be born into God's family and have a home in heaven. You can doubt that all you want to. You can question all you want to. You will not be dead 2/10 of a second before you learn the reality of it all. And one of these days, He will return to this earth. Only this time, He will not lay aside His garments. He will come with many crowns on His head. His vesture will be dipped in blood. His clothing will be lettered with the words, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He will rule and reign from the throne of His father David for 1,000 years. And we will spend that time with Him, serving Him. In that day, we definitely will lay aside our plans for His. We're able to do that, friend, because He laid aside His life for ours. I feel like this month, I felt like we had a great month when we talked about prayer at the beginning and then reading in February and preaching in March and witnessing in April. I feel like this month we fumbled the ball a little bit. We couldn't help the weather last weekend that threw us off. I haven't said much about this matter of serving, but I think the Lord wanted this message for this morning just to remind us that if we're never willing to lay aside our plans, our schedule, we will never be able to serve others. So in order to be a servant, you've got to lay aside. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank You for this little passage of Scripture. I appreciate God so much. The abundance, the fullness that You put into Your book, it never, ever runs dry. I thank You, O God, for Jesus, Your Son, who became an example for us of being a servant, laying aside His garments. And God, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts this morning. This is not a scathing, browbeating message, Lord. This is just a plea for Your people, all of us in this room, to learn what it means to be of service to others. And in order to do that, we got to set aside. So God, help us, empower us, bless us, lead us, Lord. Help us to grow in the area of being a servant to others. Thank You, Jesus, for being our servant. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if you're here this morning and you're not saved. You're not on your way to heaven. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Please realize that Christ died, was buried, and rose again to bring salvation to you personally. Wouldn't you trust Him this morning as your Savior? I wonder if there'd be anybody in the building today. Pastor, I'll be honest, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure when I die if I'll go to heaven. Is that you this morning? If you'll be honest about it, would you slip your hand in the air and just say, Pastor Angel, I know I'm not, or I'm not sure that I'm saved. Could I just pray for you as we dismiss in a moment? Anybody like that this morning? If you're here today and you've been saved but not baptized in obedience to Christ, then you can come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism this morning. Or if you've met with us about joining the church, you can do that as well. I wonder if the Lord spoke to your heart this morning about this little, simple truth that if you never are willing to lay aside your plans, it's going to be impossible to be a servant. It may not mean going on a 7-hour road trip. It may mean something as simple as fixing a meal for a mother that just birthed a baby. Who would say this morning, Pastor, somewhere through the text of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, pricked my conscience, my heart a little bit about this matter of being a servant and being willing to lay aside. Pray for me. I want to follow the Lord in this matter. Would you slip your hand up wherever you're sitting this morning? God bless you. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, again, I thank you for the privilege to preach your word. Now, would you please help us, Lord, to leave from here in just a moment and not just forget it, but help us look to be a servant and be willing to lay aside in order to do so. In Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand, please, as the ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord this morning. If you need to be saved, now's the time to come. Trust Christ as your Savior. If you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now's the time to come. While we wait,